I have returned. What in the world? I've got nothing.
They make beer. Them too. A cat just walked in. Hello, cat. Hi. It's been a few weeks.
Where creepy voices come in.
I believe the term is sonorous and sultry. Hi. It's been a minute, like many, many episodes. I don't even remember the last one we recorded as the two of us, Sammy B and Scala, reunited. Yes.
We are here, and we are live in the unnamed studio.
Maybe we'll have to get like a sponsorship, like, you know, how they have, you know, the Bojangles studio Dale Jr. Maybe we can get the Aurelio's Pizza studio for us.
I like
I've got one 2 minutes away from me now. So,
and the one, new like, house 700 miles from me.
Yeah, that, you know, stone's throw. You can just throw really far. So maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I'm in the new house. This is my first pod from the new place.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's incredible. It's great. Like, it's a mess, but I love having it. The hardest part, though, is just things ending up in places where you don't know where you're going to put them. And one of the things that I'm experiencing right now is we don't have a clear spot for the litter box.
Ah.
So I'm currently watching my cat defecate about 4 feet from me.
He's probably looking at you like, dude, what are you looking at?
So she's doing that. That's great. But
I watch you and I poo.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We got three races to catch up on, but I will admit I cannot stress how much I have missed the old Formula Us too. And we're going to be way better about this. We've decided, we found a time and a night every week that we're going to make sure this pod happens.
Yes. Yeah, so John and I were talking, and he actually messaged me, I think it was Friday, and I was like, okay, what time do you want to do this consistently? And I never got a chance to get back to him. And then you jumped in and I'm like, all right, 11 o'clock Sunday nights. Why not?
Why not? The late show.
Sean, there's your answer.
I can't believe you found that that was a hit last episode. I don't know if you listened, but I had that with me and Jason Clark. And I did the late night radio voice and it worked. So, you know, I thought I could bring it back. But anyways, I mean, there's a lot of personal things I could talk about, but we have three races to cover.
Yes. Exciting.
One of which I missed. And I have going on in the background right now to catch up just because it's been so crazy moving in. Mm-hmm. I never got to watch the Knoxville race, which honestly I was heartbroken I missed because I was super excited for it. Look, I'll share my opinions when we get to Knoxville because I'm going to lean on you heavy for that because I haven't watched it. But Bristol, we went to the last great Coliseum in Bristol, Tennessee. And boy, it was a hot mess from lap one, as I don't want to say as you would expect from Bristol. I put it on there because every time, and this now granted, this is when I was still an admin, still helping out in that stuff. Every time it's been left off, it was like people were angry at me and the whole admin team when it wasn't included.
Right.
So it felt like, oh, you have to have Bristol. And we didn't get to lap. I don't think we made it to lap, complete lap you one lap or lap corner. Two. Yeah. Lap like it corner. Was. It's hard. I want to believe we can do this stuff, but every time we roll out, it's just a cluster. And I mean, again, maybe I'm biased just because I suffered damage on that first corner. We did the DOR slide and we all crashed into each other. So
it's a hit, by the way.
Slide to the left, crunch. So, you know, frustrating. But
take it back on the wall now, yo. 2x this time.
4x this time. Oh man, that's what it is. The DOR slide. So frustrating. I mean, I know. I will say that this is what I can remember from how many weeks ago this was. Granted, I have moved. It's been crazy. I'm pulling this from the foggiest corners. And again, I apologize because it always seems to skew heavy DOR chat. So do forgive me. Had that race gone 10 more laps or not had the incident between Dean and Telder, Blaine Sparling would have gotten his first win. He had the pace on those tires. It like you, if you watch it again, I know it kind of slid by everyone on it, but Blaine was the fastest guy on track at that point. When the very few guys with the clean truck, I said, that's his MO is he keeps his truck clean. He had fresh tires and he was chasing him down. Mm-hmm. If that race was 10 more laps or if they didn't have the accident there between Telder and Dean, which got spicy because it's Bristol. Of course, it's going to get spicy.
Right.
Blaine Sparling would have gotten his first win. Guaranteed. Wow.
Hot take there. Well, yeah, I mean, going back to the conversation about the Bristol on the schedule thing, it's weird because like I see the chat going on about the race and even Sean made a comment too in chat during the broadcast. He says it'll be a long time before we go to this track again or something like that. And I immediately went to our little Oval Office chat and I said, guys, hold, let everything settle down because this is where everybody almost jumps because Bristol, they think's a bad race because you had, I think it was 9 cautions or something like that in the race. And I reminded them that the truck race last season at Bristol had all of 16 cautions. I think it was. So it's not just us. It's everybody that races at Bristol has a race like that. And that's what makes Bristol Bristol is you're going to have pissed off drivers. You're going to have a crazy finish in the end. You're going to have people making mistakes and things like that. That's part of this track. Like you can't even, when we go to Martinsville in a few weeks, like you can't even say that this is going to happen at that track. Bristol is its own monster. No pun intended, where Martinsville is its own thing. So Bristol, I thought was a fantastic race. It had drama right from turn 3 where Dalton made a mistake and did what I've seen a lot of people doing on this build. It seems like recently is if you get out there on cold tires and you try to dive it into the inside lane, some reason it's almost like there's too much rear brake in the car and it just swaps ends. And that's exactly what it did. And, you know, we had that kind of drama. You know, you mentioned the Dean Telder deal. We had the Telder versus Drayton Cook deal where Telder was trying to hold the lead up in the top groove and Drayton used 8 wheels instead of 4 and took the lead and won the race. And needless to say, Drayton didn't really have any remorse, it seemed like, towards that move either. But in the end, that's the way it went. He won the race, and it was a wild one. First career win for Drayton. It's the second first-time winner in 3 races, and the boxing ring was pretty active for a while.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess from that aspect, the other thing I had to remember, too, is I'm trying to pull up the final results right now. I'm looking at it on the broadcast. We had 34 trucks take the start, which is a lot. And it's hard because like, I know you can't, you know, we are at the end of the day, guys who are doing this as amateurs and trying our best to race at the highest level possible. And it's hard. These tracks challenge you. the constraints, the give and take, those are all subtle nuances that are difficult to recreate in a simulation.
Were you about to say facsimiles?
I wasn't sure if it was the right word though, so I gave up on it. But
I'm sure I just shocked half our people thinking I know what the word facsimile means.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, it's hard because I mean, I will admit, I think if I had not been so sick for Homestead and plugged along, I bet I'd be doing better this season, but that was like a very, very low place finish. But a lot of this season has been just like recover. Like for me personally, it's been like, hey, how much can I recover? Mm-hmm. And just staying out there and trying to be caught, you know, safe, you can get a lot of points back. I feel like there's a little more grit in a lot of people where other seasons there's more, I don't know, maybe this is just my perspective, where it's like, all right, you know what? Truck's damaged. Let's see what we can do. But Bristol is spicy, as always. I still, if I had to put my money on it, I think there will be a gap, a break. We're going to take it, you know, sometimes you need a break for a healthy relationship. I'm not in that admin office right now. I need the time off. I'm doing a lot of stuff, and I don't know for sure, so don't take anything I'm saying as gospel. But I would not be surprised if there was a break from Bristol for at least one season. So we'll see. I don't know. But it was a sizzler. It was exciting. Again, it's kind of hard to argue with results. It's a thriller, and there's no denying that. And that's part of the fun of it is like that is short track racing. And I guess if I had, this is, you know, Sammy B's ranting corner. Hello, welcome. I'm gonna go to iRacing right now. I'm gonna pull up the track list, and I want to see if we were fine. Twist my arm or twist your arm, and I said we can't have Bristol, can't have Martinsville. What short track are you putting on the calendar?
Well, technically, there's only two short tracks left.
It doesn't have to be like cup level. We could include stuff like, I don't know. There's other ones on there that, like, I think, I don't know if they would put on good racing. Like, you know, you could talk about Hickory or, you know, some people have mentioned, and I don't know what your thoughts about this are. I have a thought. What would your gut reaction be if we came back for season 8 and we said, hey, we have this great idea. We're going to go down to 5 flags, but mm-hmm. we're going to run the same format that we run for the dirt truck race, where it's you got heat races, LCQs, main. Do you like that? Do you hate that?
I like that more as an exhibition idea. I think the dirt has its own deal, and that's for that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for 7 seasons now, we've created great racing for oval tracks. Yeah, we've had some rough ones, but again, that's short track racing. And I don't think the right idea to modifying a short track race mm-hmm. to try to limit action and wrecks is the right move to do, because then you're almost taking the excitement of a short track race out. Yes, a race can still be exciting with say 20 trucks. That's what we usually do on dirt. But I think having just a regular race on a short track, because let's face it, there's going to be cautions no matter where you race on a short track.
Oh, that's fair. But
the problem is we feel that we get out here on these 1.5 and 2 mile tracks and we go one caution or caution free or whatever, that those are the kind of races we got to have at Bristol or at Martinsville or at Richmond. It's not going to happen. And I think that's where the expectation needs to be lowered down, that, you know what, you're going to have pissed off drivers. You're going to have wrecked race cars. You're going to have feuds. You're going to have deals like that in the season, because that's part of it. That's why you run 1 or 2 super speedway races. You're going to have similar situations. You know, it's each setup of a track provides its own entity out there. Now, 5 flags would be a good option. I think Hickory could be a potential option, especially if you want to go old school with the way the Xfinity cars used to run Hickory. North Wilkesboro obviously would be an option right off the bat there. I mean, you
Part of me wants to go back to IRP. I mean, it's official truck series race now again.
Yeah, you could go there. I mean, Iowa obviously is your other option. I just broadcasted an Iowa race a little bit ago and only had one caution in it. So there's plenty of options out there, but I will be the one that starts the petition that Bristol needs to be on the schedule next season.
I wouldn't mind a break. I'm biased. I'm biased. I don't like Bristol.
Even better. I'll throw it out there. Put Bristol in the playoffs.
Oh, God. You really just gross.
Think of it. A Bristol night race in the playoffs.
Okay. I'm gonna check myself. I'm going to put myself in someone else's shoes. I'm sure there are people that would really like that, enjoy that, and think that's a good idea.
I'm going to have a little fun right now.
But there are also people that really hate and are dreading and not excited for Belle Isle. I'm super excited, and I know other people that are. But I think that's kind of the beauty and the dance we try and do, is that if we make a perfect schedule... No, let me say this. If a schedule is made and no one complains, I don't think we're pushing hard enough. Because generally, I want, and this is my two cents, if there's not one to two races per season that someone isn't grimacing a little bit because something's out of their comfort zone, I don't think we're pushing hard enough.
Right.
Because I have learned so much by going to tracks I don't like. I realize something. We were going to plan something special because our Indianapolis race, which is usually one of our best races of the year season, is going to be 2-year anniversary mark for GLSR. Which is crazy. It's crazy. I can't believe I have, that this is going this long. I've been racing with some of these guys so long. And, I mean, again, personal self-reflection. I can't believe how far I've come in those years and how much I've learned and I understand and respect oval racing in a way I've never in my whole life. Seriously. Like it's transformative. But I don't think if you're someone who's only running those tracks that you like and that are in your wheelhouse, then you're not maximizing the place you can be. 'Cause I feel like there are people who have learned stuff by the races that we do that are way out there than just saying, oh, we're going to run a bunch of 1.5s, nothing crazy. So I don't know. You know, again, I don't like Bristol, but there are people that do. And every time I go to Bristol, I learn something different. So maybe you're right.
Well, I actually, and there will be not seeing the answers until later, but I did just post a question in chat of who would be interested in a Bristol night race in the playoff season 8.
Gross. I wouldn't. Hold on. I'm gonna respond to that right now. I'm gonna say no. I mean,
if I could find a way to hit everyone, I might be able to get answers quick, but I don't know how to, I'm not allowed to everyone in our everyone chat.
That's true. I don't think I have that anymore.
So I truck driver device chat.
All right,
you really have to put a dog on there having a seizure?
Yeah, I think it's the only fair way to express my feelings. Okay, I'm going to need your help because when I was about to get into this race, I had to take a little bit of self-reflection. Back it up. We got this house. We know we're going to move in. Mm-hmm. We start packing a little early. My wife and I realize we're not feeling well. This is around homestead time. We both get COVID. So the apartment we are is in half packing disarray.
Right.
We get the house. It's great. We don't have COVID anymore. We have this house. But it's a disaster. And unfortunately, I had to make the adult decision to be like, we have to get moved into this house. And if we don't take the every day and every chance we have to do it, I'm going to be upset. So I had to miss Knoxville. I have not had the chance to watch this race. So tell me, for our first foray into Knoxville, when a lot of people have said and criticized the idea of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. of us not going to Eldora, how do you believe Knoxville went?
I believed, if I could use one word, I'd be surprised. I expected to see Martinsville on dirt. I expected to see everybody running the bottom groove right up against side that berm thingy and hardly seeing any kind of passing other than people making mistakes. And in the end, it turned into this wide multi-groove flat track, if you will, of racing that turned into the top groove being the fastest way around. You had passes galore. You're going to see what could be one of the better restarts in league history with Telder happen after he had some argy-bargy at the beginning of the race. We had a very familiar winner, but in the end, I think there's really no reason outside of the typical I don't like racing on dirt complainers that are going to come out and say, you know what, that wasn't fun. There was great heat racing. There was great racing all night. And I don't see any reason why people walked out of there mad outside of being angry about being wrecked or whatever.
Yeah, I was really broken up that I missed it because I was genuinely excited to try a new style of track. And I felt I usually really enjoy the dirt races just because they're so out of the norm. I love kind of just getting put out into a complete discomfort zone and learning on the fly.
Right.
So I was personally bummed that I missed it. But I mean, I know I saw one shot Blaine took of at one point in the race. They're going four wide into the corner. And that doesn't happen at Eldora. So it's like, you know, I guess it worked. So I'm happy that that wild card choice of like, well, the truck series goes there. I feel like we should include it. Let's try something new and different. I'm glad it paid off. And I guess I've got it on right now, and I can't wait to actually watch this with a little more intensity and study it better. But I don't know. I know for next season, the admin plan that I was told is they're going to, instead of just pick the dirt race, they're going to allow, at least this is what I was, the last I heard, that they're going to let them vote on the dirt race.
I nominate Lakeland.
Lakeland? Which one's Lakeland?
USA.
Oh, really?
Yes, 3/4 mile dirt race. Perfect for those trucks.
Oh, that's interesting. It's a bummer because there's a lot of great tracks that I just feel like don't or can't really be considered just due to size. I know one that I've always wanted to go to, but isn't really feasible due to track size is Fairbury.
Mm-hmm.
That's not too far of a drive from me, and that's an Illinois track. But I think I've been recommended to by guys who know a thing or two about dirt that would be a very small track to go to. But yeah, it's like there really isn't too much scope beyond, you know, no, I'm going to take it back. I still am adamant that I had some of the most amazing fun when we did the Margarita Bowl. In the Chili Bowl. I know people hated that so much. It was a blast. I know it was like a one line track and it was a cluster, but you could do 8 heat races just to set that final group and it'd be a blast. So I don't know. I'm an idiot. Isn't there a new dirt track coming out soon?
Port Royal, I believe, is coming out.
How big is that?
I don't even know anything about Port Royal other than people like it.
I'm going to have to Google the size of Port Royal dirt track. Okay, fine. Let's say, it is a 1/2 mile dirt track in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I'd still be happy to go back to Lernerville. That was still some of the most fun I've ever had on that. It's just, I love the fact that the track just kind of went away. I love the high, crazy banking of it. So that's me being biased.
And again, I could go right back to where this whole thing started. We could go hit the Bristol dirt again, the new dirt, which has the progressive banking.
Oh, I mean, that I enjoyed that one too. I did. I felt like that put on great racing, and I actually enjoyed the Bristol dirt way more than Bristol paved. That's just me. It would be back to hypotheticals. Other than you're going to leave your general statement, because again, I didn't get to watch the race, as surprising, multi-groove, fun. Would you, I've got a deck of cards of all the tracks I can say, hey, we've got Knoxville, we've got Bristol Dirt, we've got Eldora, we've got Lernerville, we've got, you know, the USA track. Would you still stick with USA as your choice of you're picking the season 8 dirt track we're going to, or would you give Knoxville another go around?
I would go somewhere different. Only because I think it should go to random places.
And like, you'd still stick with USA.
Yeah, I would say USA, Bristol. Yeah, I would say stay away from Eldora. I think it'd have to be a half mile track or bigger for me to say go to that track. So I would say Bristol, USA. And that was probably my top two choices.
All right. Yeah, it's hard because it's like, I know Eldora put on great, amazing racing, and it's hard to argue with a good product. It's just definitely with like a once in a season type race, I don't mind some variety. Because I know, like with some tracks, you know, they kind of come and go, or like, you know, brought around every now and then, or others are more like mainstays, Indianapolis, Homestead, and whatnot. But yeah, I was just curious to see your gut reaction. Again, congratulations to Alex Cummings proving. Is there anyone more dominant on a specific type of track than Alex on dirt? Because it's like the only other person I kind of thought of was when William Calhoun was in his prime on road courses, but even then he still had competition,
right?
And do you feel Alex is at that level, or he's just always at, like,
he's there. I think he and I would put Fontaine with him because he's finished second in both those races, or three of those races I think that Alex has won or whatever. So he's had his share. He's right there with Alex. But I think Alex is a step above right now when it comes to the dirt.
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting to see where people elect to want to go for season 8. And I have no idea what people will decide, but I'm intrigued to put my vote in for whatever they nominate. But a great sizzler of a dirt race. It's hard to argue with the fun you had. Now that brings us up to the most current race, which we did have a delayed broadcast on. I'm glad we got it out. Darlington, something we have not done since season 1, which really, when you look back on it, is crazy that that's only the second time we've run that race, because I never realized. I had some time when I had COVID where I wasn't feeling the worst, and the official race at that point was Darlington. And I did not realize how much of an amazing track that was until I had the time to truly do a bunch of races to appreciate the sheer complexity and uniqueness and range of emotions the track can give you. I don't know if I can think of another track that has the same combination as that track gives.
Yeah, I think I mean, because you're happy, you're enjoying the track, now all of a sudden you're up in the wall, and now all of a sudden you're slower, and I'll get out, and you got issues everywhere. And it's a reason why the track has so many nicknames. It's notorious for what it can do and put on a great race, and that's exactly what it did. You know, Wednesday night had a first-time winner again, 3 in 5 races, by the way. And Jonathan Tuckness used a pit strategy, which included him staying out the longest out of anybody on pit road. And because of that, he was able to get the caution he needed and had the fresh tires and was able to hold off some pretty sporty drivers to win this race.
I'll tell you what, man, it was unfortunate. Because you just missed it on the broadcast. You caught me when I had gotten down to the apron. Alex Cummings and I had some net code.
Ah.
And it shot me up into the wall. And he apologized. He sent me a message after the race, like, look, I'm sorry. Like, I thought there was enough room. There was net code. It was just like, it was unfortunate because I don't know why, man. I was feeling groovy. I was the highest qualifying DOR driver, and I really felt like considering how attrition went, that could have been a top 10, five. I don't know. But God, it was a race that was really unique. And I don't know if you knew this was happening when Travis is out for a mm-hmm. bit with the wedding.
Right.
And so Sean Peachin set up this race. There was, and it's always hard setting up the races. There's always like one thing that slips by. And the one thing that was set incorrectly was the penalty level was black flag after 1X.
Oh, whoops.
So the whole race, guys are like Jason Clark hotkeyed the clear all blacks to his computer. And every lap, someone's go, I need a black cleared. I need a black. And it's just like all blacks cleared, all blacks cleared every lap. And it's like, weirdly, I think it kind of calmed down the race in a way, because you didn't want to be the guy that, what happens if something goes wrong and they can't clear the black in time? And then I got all screwed over. But I felt like it got the race rolling better than it would have if there was no threat of an accidental black flag. I'm not saying we should do that. No, but I definitely felt like people were 10% more patient at the start to just get the race rolling.
Right.
There was a lot of, again, the track invites you to keep pushing that wall, get a little closer, take a little more, and then it'll bite you when it doesn't. There was definitely some moments where, again, like in the apron, so huge, and people are like, oh, why is it not a yellow? And it's like, oh, well, you're not against the wall and it's still cleared. But yeah. And
meanwhile, your first caution of the night was a truck that parked down on the inside of the turn or the backstretch wall.
Yeah. No, again, weird stuff, considering the level of some pandemonium right. that was going on. And yet that was clear. But the car parking down on the back stretch is the caution. So no, I mean, I guess I'm always intrigued. How does it feel when the difference between a, like, do you know some of the things that happened during the race, or do you do your best to try and like avoid everything on the Discord? And when you load it up, you just see what happens. Like, how does that feel differently when
it's funny you ask that, because I'm sure if you watch the broadcast closely, Brandon Alphen and I talked about this last night. He asked me the obvious question, and others are probably going to ask me this week, and I'll go ahead and answer it now. Did I watch the race in advance? No, I didn't. And if you look at the replay, you'll notice, like, I seem to nail every caution. I find a way to be right on the truck at the caution of the specific ones. So, like, when the Sutphen wreck that happens with Jacob Black and I forget the other truck that was involved at the beginning of it. When they come together, like, I cut right to Sutphen's truck on the front straightaway as it gets turned. I didn't have that planned. I just went to Sutphen.
I wondered. I'm like, it was like, man, he's like on top of the caution.
I had no clue. I did not watch the race in advance at all. The only thing I knew was that Jonathan won, and that was only when I opened up the room to see how long the race was, because I wanted to make sure when I planned the race out, I don't overlap other things I have going on. Because, you know, this race was supposed to happen Wednesday night, but unforeseen circumstances, we'll call it, my polite way of calling it, happened. And I ended up in Atlanta at the airport taking packages down there. Then the plan was, well, let's do it Friday afternoon, because I was thinking Black Horizon Brewery's open. They might throw the race on the TV or whatever for the people on Friday afternoon. And I was going to maybe have the day off Friday, depending on some things happening. But unfortunate circumstances aroused up again, and I end up working all day Friday. So then it was plan C, which was Saturday afternoon, and still got it in the afternoon. So hopefully Black Horizon was able to broadcast it. If so, cool. If not, then cool too. It worked out the way it did. I had no clue that Jonathan had won until I opened up the session. I had no clue that the race was an hour and 3 minutes till I opened up the session. And I had no clue of any events outside of what I saw in the boxing ring about somebody hitting somebody in the apron and things like that. And I still hadn't even gone through the whole entire boxing ring yet of what happened last week. I've learned through other people that there's one particular driver that a whole team is not liking right now. And I figured it out really quickly who it is. I learned that through the race. Telder for the second straight week had a very awesome paint scheme on his truck. Credit him on that. He made it all three quarters of a race before he striped it. A lot of people like Darlington stripes. Let's just put it like that also. And see, what else did I catch in that? Oh, and there was one other angry driver, I think, towards the back and one of the later cautions at the end. I'll go ahead and say this one. Mr. Evans there didn't look too thrilled with a particular driver that I think either got loose or got hooked up above him and was kind of pushing him down the back straightaway almost, if you will.
So with we're covering a lot of ground on these last three races with this pod. And I'm trying to think of the way to really like, and we're pulling a lot of different memories, a lot of different incidents where like, you know, it's easy to kind of combine things that happen. In your opinion, I want you to pick out for each race, Bristol, Knoxville, Darlington, what's that Alex Cummings steals it defining moment of the race for you? What still sticks out in your mind for Bristol? What still is in your mind from Knoxville? And if there's nothing, I guess there's nothing, but I'm just
there's
curious.
Something.
Tell me each race. I want to know what's your defining moment of the last three races.
All right. Bristol. And I'm unbiasedly saying this, but I as being part owner of this team, I got to say it. The TIX team wiping themselves out, running 1-2-3-4 at Bristol. They were 1-2-3-4 majority of the race. Even an iRacing glitch or something happened to where pit road opened for people or whatever at the wrong time. They had to start in the back on a restart, and they worked their way back up to being 1-2-3-4 majority of the night, and 2-3-4 wiped themselves out and left one to face the field. I think that was huge because it allowed others to get up in there. Now I'm not saying they could have finished 1-2-3-4, but the way it was rolling that entire night, that's how it was. Obviously things didn't happen. That was the big moment. Bristol, Knoxville. The one moment that sticks to my mind is Telder's restart. There was an incident with him and I'm going to forget the driver's name. The 29 truck Canup, and they got together on the restart running 1-2, and it sent Telder to the wall. So Telder ended up in the back. So then there was another restart, and Telder goes from like 12th to 4th or something, or 3rd in like one lap, like just shoots the middle and passes people left and right. And I'm like, that's how you do a green flag start. I forget how I said it, but even his mom was like, what does he mean by that? Apparently questioned my terminology, which I do all the time. That was probably the big moment of that race. And trying to think, the four wideness obviously was big in that race too. But Telder's comes to my mind off the top of my head there. The race at Darlington is obviously Tuckness and the pit strategy. He starts 33rd, I think, in the race, 34th, and he gains, you know, a bunch of spots in that first run, and then the pit stop comes with 30 or so laps to go. He stays out as everybody comes down pit road, and the caution comes out, and I could think it might have been the Sutphin caution, actually, comes out, and all of a sudden he and like three others are the only trucks on the lead lap. Alfin takes the wave around, and then others end up taking or takes the lucky dog. The rest get the wave around. So now you're looking at three trucks with the freshest tires up front at a tire eaten track with everybody else behind. We were moments away from seeing potentially Tuckness, Cedric Ingram finishing second potentially in that race. I forget the driver who's third, forgive me. Was third in, I want to say it was Blaine, but it wasn't Blaine.
At where?
At Darlington, the third driver that stayed out. It was Tuckness. It was Cedric Ingram.
Wasn't it Dean?
No, it wasn't Dean.
But Dean took second in that race, didn't he?
Well, it later on to the race, I can explain a little bit there. So, anyways, you had three trucks that had the fresh tires in the end. You had Alphen get the lucky dog, so he had tires, but had to start in the back. Then you had all of the wall on the track with his right side to win that race and be up front.
All right. Well, those are some big moments that we all get to reflect on. Now, I want to point out one thing. That was the fifth race of the regular season. We are halfway. Five more to go until we lock in our playoffs. We stand with our top 10 right now. Alex Cummings, Drayton Cook, Matt Telder, Jason Dalton, Timothy Abril, Robert Lukens, Chris Dean, Brandon Alphen, Cedric Ingram, Sam Fontaine. We got five more to go. How many of those guys are sticking around and how many are falling out of the top 10?
At least nine. I say that because
not advancing on?
At most, nine will stay in. And here's why I say that. I know Tim Abril is going to fall out eventually. With some of the rule changes and stuff, he's actually been called to do some work. He's part of the military and stuff. So I know he's going to be out, I think, two or three more races. So he's going to fall out, unfortunately. I thought
you were going to say nine guys of that group.
I'm saying at least nine are going to stay in. He's the one that I know will eventually fall out with the way the rules are all set up for the season. Alex is in. I mean, he's running way too well right now. What the impressive part here is how that lap one legends team is running. Just the way Alex is running. Telder's up there in the top five, which is awesome to see. Robert Lukens, I'm a little worried about him because he's starting to fall off the map a little bit again.
How long is the 33 Renaissance going to last?
Man, it was fun to watch. I'll just say that. I'm a little worried about him this week. This might be a week, Robert, use a provisional, but, Kentucky? He's run well in mile and a half. We're at Kentucky. I did this during the broadcast too.
I know. Belle Isle is 2 weeks from now. Kentucky is what we got next.
Well, I guess Kentucky, I can see Lukens running well. He ran well at Homestead. He ran well at, these other, I guess you'd call them modern tracks. I don't want to call like Bristol not modern or whatever and Darlington, but like the traditional mile and a half tracks and stuff I've seen Robert run well at. So I could see him running well. Cedric, I could see another good run here potentially at Kentucky. But quietly here, you've got Casey Duncan had a fifth place run at Darlington. He's done a great job. If he can keep his truck clean, he'll be a contender for this. Blaine is Blaine. Let's just put it like it is there. Otherwise,
The only other guys that I know Sean is just riddled with bad luck again, but he's all the way down in 27th now. He could put in some great results a few weeks in a row, and I expect it.
You said it, not me.
Yeah, well, he can come be mad at me. Justin, he's Mr. Boomer Bust. I don't know why Bondurant can never just like.
Bad luck at Darlington. The nine truck, Ryan.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I should know his name too. Ryan Douglas. Got involved in an incident there, which was just a tough break for him.
But that's nothing new. And Tuckness just won. I think that's a guy who's just had bad luck. So I don't know. It will be interesting to see because the next five are overall more conservative, more normal. The oddball out is Belle Isle, but then everything else is pretty
straightforward. Yeah,
straightforward. Kentucky, Las Vegas, Martinsville, Michigan are the only other ones in Belle Isle.
Martinsville ain't straightforward, but
it's not like no one's ever done it before. You know what I mean? Like Belle Isle is the black cat in the room. It's the elephant. It's the oddball out compared to guys have run Martinsville before. Yes, it's going to be a cluster, but it's not like right. No one's done it. But it will be interesting to see how things shake out, because now we've got some more, like, Kentucky's going to be the first breath of fresh air for some guys since Homestead.
Right.
You know, we just got through the hardest part of the schedule, Bristol, Knoxville, Darlington. Yeah, Belle Isle is going to be its own thing. But that trio was tough on a lot of guys. So if some people are going to be mounting a charge, it starts now.
So how weird would it be if 12th place Cam Ingram jumped his dad ninth and knocked him out?
Boy, man. It'd be exciting. I know which one you're pulling for, but
I don't have favorites. I'm a broadcaster here. Thank you.
Look, Cedric has been on some pretty good form recently. I've enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed watching that 19 scream around. So power to him, man. I enjoyed some of the banter between the 15, Peyton Johnson, I think. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly how it happened, but he got a lap down, but his truck was still fast. And Cedric was, I think, up in the top 10 mm-hmm. or top 5. He was running really well. And so Cedric's running his line, and Peyton got mad. And he's like, what are you talking about? You're left out. I'm the one that should hit you. So, no, I'm loving it. It's like I enjoy when I see Robert Lukens and Cedric Ingram and those guys up there, because it makes me believe that, again, I hate only talking about myself because I don't want to be self-aggrandizing, but it makes me believe I think in a season or two, I could do that. I want to believe I can get there. And I'm hoping that by pushing myself and venturing into some new territory, I mean, I've already talked with you a little bit about trying to learn how to get better at IndyCar, which is a massive challenge. Mm-hmm. Just keep learning and pushing, because it's almost 2 years since I started doing all this. So, I mean, the only other thing that we got left to do is if we want to do our fantasy picks and of who we expect to do well at Kentucky, which is a pretty, I don't want to say, because Kentucky isn't as conservative or humdrum of a track as you would think. I know I've talked to a few people who have mentioned that, turns 3 and 4, if guys haven't prepared, are going to catch them with their pants down if they're not ready, because it is more challenging than people give on.
Yeah, turn 1 and 2, it's a 17 degree super speedway, but like a Charlotte, Texas, Atlanta, high bank type of just hold it wide open almost through that corner, if you will. But then you get down to turn 3 and 4 and you get this sweeping 15 degree bank corner that was not changed when the track was repaved. But believe it or not, can produce some fantastic racing. I mean, you're going to have trucks down on the line. You're going to have trucks halfway up the track. You're going to see people going there too deep and slide up the track. That's going to be the action. It's going to be turn 3 and 4, but turn 1 and 2 is going to have its share of things too, at this race. So, obviously got to go back and look at, you know, who's run well, where, who ran well, you know, at Homestead earlier this season. I mean, maybe use for a comparison, but you have fresher pavement here. So, you know, you got to go back to, the last mile and a half on a regular track that we had. And I'm thinking back in my head, and I can't even remember when it was. So I think we're kind of got a clean book here. And I think the racing is going to be as unknown as the title of this race. Raxon Rax Barbecue.
Wow, yeah, I didn't realize that's what a Raxon Rax Barbecue.
Now, when I'm thinking of the Raxon, I'm thinking of that guy in that video on YouTube that's like Rackham, Rack, Rack. Is that who this is named after? I forget who it is. It's like this, yeah.
I cannot confirm or deny that, but yeah, I don't know. Picking 4 for this race is gonna be a, I don't want to call it a crapshoot, because I mean, you've got your guys who you know who are going to be there. It's hard to not trust guys like Sam Fontaine. It's the most boring choice, really. But I mean, he's a Swiss Army knife. You can't put him on any track or surface where he won't adapt quickly to it. I'll tell you one guy who's really gone up in price is Blaine Sparling. Mm-hmm. But that's just because his consistency pays off. Oh man, who else do I mean, I feel like
I'm going into the channel right now to take a look.
We just talked about him, and that's why I'm feeling this. I feel like I want to put a little word in for Cedric.
Mm-hmm.
He's just performing at a really high level right now. You know, another guy who also was doing really well at Darlington for quite a while is Drift.
Yeah.
God, he's so boomer bust. Mm-hmm. He's so boomer bust. You never know which Drift is going to show up. There are days where he is running up in the top five and days where he's 35th. I want a value pick. What's a good value pick?
Good value pick for Kentucky. That was not me.
That was me. Sorry, I might have maxed it there. I mean, maybe Peyton Johnson. Guy was fast. But I feel like there's still a better value pick out there. Maybe like what? Like Bonder. Josh, where's Bondo?
122.
Yeah,
Bonder could be worth something.
Okay.
You know, quietly, Mr. Marshall could be a sneaky pick.
Very.
Luke Daniels down there at $93 is money waiting on the table. If he gets some luck, he'll be up there.
That is true.
Now, I'm going to tell you two guys I would have in your lineup no matter what this weekend.
Okay.
Or this Wednesday night. Telder, because he's running really well and he's consistent and he's only $130. The other guy, unbiased again, but there's a reason behind this pick, is Brandon Offen. Kentucky's his home track.
Okay. See, now that it is all made. Hey, you know what, though? Home track luck doesn't always apply, though. Now, are you saying, okay, I'm asking for a little more information.
Mm-hmm.
Does he love the track, or are you just going on the basis that he's home? Because, like, Chicagoland and I are water and oil. We don't mix. I try every time. Or are you saying that you believe that there's some motivation there and you know?
He tells me, actually, it's more just being there. He tells me that he's actually more mad that it took away a short track or something from the area he's from, or something that was originally, I guess, Kentucky Speedway or something, and then built this thing. So I think it's more of a hometown thing, but yeah, you never know.
I was curious. It was like, you know, there are people who they have that home track speed,
right?
And others where it just doesn't come together.
Casey Duncan's a value pick at 126. You know, I'm
looking at Tuckness.
Yeah.
127. Tuckness,
another one. Yeah.
God, yeah. I mean, I feel like Drift 119 would be really interesting.
Looking, I like the Cedric pick at 121.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel confident in that. I mean, if you wanted to go full wild, I feel like not. Yeah, Luke Daniels is like probably the most boom or bust. Like, if you really want to go for full value, that would be a good pick. So, I mean, I'm sitting right now. Wait, hold on. Did I pick too many? I've got the four I've got picked right now. I'm sitting at 549. I'm $1 under. Sam Fontaine, Brandon Alfand, Jonathan Tuckness, Cedric Ingram.
550, right?
That's that little 550 total budget that puts me at 549. That's, I will admit, I probably could go for a little more value than that, but that feels like a strong group. That's much more leaning towards the who do you think is going to be more for sure versus hedge. There's a lot of guys that could have picked if I was going for a hedge pick, but a lot of those guys feel pretty safe. So I don't know what you would go with, but those are the four that I went with. Granted, right. High price, 549 for those four.
I'm working on it right now. I'm actually putting a lineup together. I'm not going to submit it because I'm not a part of it. But you know what? I'm probably going to end up doing this one right here. I just put together. Let's see. All right, my lineup looks like this, and Telder's going to be really smiling at me here. Alex Cummings, Sam Fontaine, Matt Telder, and Lucas. I pretty much went with the whole entire lap one team minus Fontaine.
Well, dang. Watch out for lap two.
Yeah, right. And that put me at 544.
All right.
So well, I technically could, I could sub Fontaine and
really, you'd get rid of Fontaine.
I would probably.
He's like the most safe pick in the whole league. Like it doesn't matter what
consistency.
Track it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could drop Luke Daniels and go. Well, there's nowhere really there other than to gain value. If anything, yeah. I could, you know what? This is exactly what I would probably do. You could drop Telder 129. You could jump up here and grab Drayton Cook, but that's $2 over. So you'd go down and get Cam Ingram maybe, and be under. You could grab Evans and hope he has a good run. Sean, if you want to take your chance there, because you know, he's had his up and downs. You could go Jonathan here. You could go Casey. There's so many picks here around the, you know, the Telder 125, we'll call it, range. But that would probably be the four I would do. I'd probably go Cummings, Fontaine, Telder, Luke Daniels.
All right. Well, we're going to have to see. And this is going to be our first time ever at Kentucky. And one of our first regular, more, I don't want to call it generic, less crazy tracks that we've gone to so far this season. I want to put it out there as a general reminder. The setup for Belle Isle is made. Download it. Buy the track, try some laps. If you don't, you're going to regret it. It's a handful, but you're going to learn more from this race about throttle control, trail braking, everything. You will reap the benefits and knowledge from attempting this endeavor. Let us send this great track off in a blaze of glory. I'm still upset that they're getting rid of this track to go to a boring Detroit circuit that's like, hey, we're doing a 90-degree turn. Like, you have this beautiful, unique, fast, tough track, and they're getting rid of it. So we wanted to send it off. I'm super excited for this race. Please, if you haven't done a lap yet, do it, because we need to start hosting some practices, get you guys used to some, you know, throttle control, brake control. Download it, please. So I'm glad that we've picked a time. I'm glad that we finally found a day. We're going to have some guests. We're going to get this back in a groove. I will admit, now that I have a house, that helps a lot. Things are going to start clicking again. So anything else from you, the captain?
I think we're all good, man. Ready to go to Kentucky and have some bourbon and, yeah, go from there.
Are you a bourbon guy?
I never really have ever had bourbon.
Excuse me? Well, okay, well, then what are you then? Like, what's the spirit of choice?
What's my name?
Spirit. No, what is the spirit of choice? Your liquid, your libation of particular interest.
What is my nickname?
Oh god, Captain Morgan. Okay.
And if I have to go to a backup, it's Bird Dog Blackberry Whiskey.
Even Blackberry. The only Bird Dog I've ever had is Peach.
No, there's a peanut butter one too. I mean, I don't know if I'm going that one.
Oh god, peanut butter, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, on that note, guys, remember, we are just here for the GLSR. Reunited, it feels so good. There's one perfect something. I forgot the rest of the words.
Oh, yeah.
There's something more to this song, but Sammy B and Chris S. No, I was going to say Chrissy D, but that's Christine. I do miss my boy, Christine. Let's end this episode. Bye.